it just struck me as I was praying about these texts, the urgency of the gospel. That's why the Lord sets aside some people to do nothing but preach the gospel. They don't get married. They don't get jobs. They just preach the gospel. And it's that important. And often it's said about them too, they're out of their mind. But you see, it's this love that drives, that drives the saints. So I want to look at this text a little bit, and this beautiful text in to Timothy, and then just a couple of words about the gospel there. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. This wasn't my idea. I did not appoint myself an apostle. Nor does anybody else. He's an apostle by the will of God for the promise of life in Christ Jesus. That's the whole point. To offer to the whole world life. A life that makes sense now and a life that is eternal. Life. To Timothy, my dear child. It was his favorite. No doubt about that. Timothy. You remember how, you see, he met Timothy along with Lois and Eunice. Notice it's all the female line because his father was a pagan. In fact, Timothy wasn't circumcised because of that. But of course, you know, in Jewish eyes, if your mother is a Jew, you're a Jew. And so, you say, some Jew might say, but I don't practice. Huh? Tell that to Hitler. And so, and that's why there was this conflict, and he had Timothy, as you remember, circumcised, so avoid conflict back in, because he's a Jew. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did. Well, wait a minute, Paul. You're a Christian. You're talking about these Jews. Ah, don't you understand? There's only one religion founded by the call of Abraham, completed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in there you have preparation and fulfillment. But it's one religion. So I worship God with a clear conscience as my ancestors did. Except now I see it in all the beauty and radiance of everything that God intended. Because I see the glory of God on the face of Christ Jesus. I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. I yearn to see you again. Think of the affection, you know. That I may be filled with joy as I recall your sincere faith. Now notice that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. Probably they weren't Christians. Again, your faith. And then the perfection of that faith. Coming through Jesus Christ, God himself. So I remind you now to stir into flame the gift of God that you had through the imposition of my hands. God's gift through the imposition of hands. The law of the incarnation. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power, love, and self-control. The beginning of the hardship of the gospel. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner, for his sake. Don't be embarrassed about that. But bear your share of the hardship, and this is translated for the gospel, the hardship of the gospel, with the strength that comes from God. Nobody can do this without the strength that comes from God. Mark, in the gospel today from Mark, and I kept the gospel from Mark because It keeps us in the readings of day by day. Well, you've heard it. They went into the house and people gathered. Why did they gather? Because they were so hungry to hear the truth, to have their spirits freed from fear, and to get the power that comes from the word of Jesus to live a life worthy of the Father. They gathered at the door and they kept them so busy, they didn't even have time to eat. So those, and it says that those near him, his relatives, you know, that he's gone out of his mind. I mean, you want to preach a little bit, that's okay, you know. But this is ridiculous. He went out of his mind. He didn't. But with divine light, he saw how important it is to preach the gospel. Now, what is the greatest obstacle to preaching the gospel in our day? Two, pressure from outside and fear inside. Oh, we're good, you know. We have a nice salesman's mentality. When we can, we close a little sale here, get somebody to go to church. But to preach the gospel means day in and day out. And as I say, it's the pressure from without and the fear in within. Pressure from without, keep your religion to yourself. My religion, you know, it's not an idea or a meditation way. It's the truth. And it's the truth for every human being. How can I not tell people? Now, we got into this where we are now, and it took about 500 or 600 years. So that the idea now is that religion is an opinion. And then we've been backed even further into the corner. This was very astute, and we were very stupid. The first person was Baruch Spinoza, a Jewish man, but an atheist, who said, look, what caused all the European wars? Religion. And certainly the Catholic-Protestant wars, that's absolutely true. So what's going to keep the world at peace is philosophy. We can agree on that. Not religion. You keep that to yourself. In fact, there was this thing, you know, that whatever the ruler of the country or the duchy or whatever it was, you know, whoever, whatever religion he was, that was the religion of that place. I mean, it's arbitrary, you know. It's a nice way to keep yourself happy. And you see what's happened? It's not the truth anymore. You can't keep the truth to yourself. I remember a friend of mine years ago, he said, you know, I'm going to let my children grow up and decide for themselves. I said, well, then don't tell them 2 and 2 are 4. You're going to prejudice their mind. Let them grow up and find out that 2 and 2 are 4, if they want to. And if they don't, at least don't try to get a job as an accountant. You know, just, it's true. But you see the overwhelming prejudice then in our day, abortion, same-sex marriage and all that. That's Catholic stuff. That's Catholic stuff. Keep it to yourself. Don't try to impose your Catholic ideas on the rest of the country. They're not Catholic teaching. They're Catholic witness to the truth. This is different than, you know, the Assumption or... those are Catholic teachings. They are true and they come from the heart of the faith. But abortion, murder, same-sex marriage, that's got nothing to do with, not a lot to do with faith, but it's the very foundation of human nature. It's got, it's the witness to the way God has made human beings. And we have been outmaneuvered. That's part of that Catholic stuff. You know, keep it to yourself. So that, you know, it could happen soon that I'm standing here preaching and saying that same-sex marriage is wrong. It could be a hate crime, and I could go to jail for saying it. Understand what's happened? So the importance of this text today, I feel, you see, is for us to realize, first, to pray for those who have been set aside to preach the gospel. And then realize that everyone, in their own way, must preach the gospel. And it's not just a question of like closing a sale, you know, getting somebody, well, now I believe in Jesus, hallelujah, and leave him alone. That's not it. If you become a Christian, you join the church. That's what it means. You join the believers. It's not just an idea, which is another one of our highly influential and confusing notions in our this individualistic life we have, you see. It's my opinion. Right? This is my faith, and I like it, and I think it's true, and if you'd like... No. This is true. This is the way to salvation. And that's why there's hardship. First place, a lot of work. Secondly, a lot of abuse. And for some, martyrdom. And it's that important. The very Son of God was working so hard, his relatives thought he was crazy. That doesn't sound like a very balanced life to me. Nice, normal. Now, what does that mean? It means that there are those who are set aside to preach the gospel. And the whole church is to live the gospel so that they see Christ in us. Raise a family. Bring them up to know the Lord. Care for your neighbors. Talk to them. Love them. Help them. You know, the most powerful force for the conversion of the city of Rome happened when there was an epidemic, a plague, in the second century. And Galen, the greatest medical theoretician of the day, and maybe any day, he split. He didn't stay in Rome. You know who stayed? The Christians. Mom and dad and the kids and everybody, they stayed. And they waited on these people. And a lot of them died taking care of those who had this plague. Most of these people just needed a place to lie down and some soup, something. And they pulled through. When that plague was over, the Romans had to say, the only people who cared about others were the Christians. And that was the most powerful force in changing the city of Rome and making it Christian. And who preached that? Everybody. Everybody. All those couples going around helping these sick people, pulling them out. You know, if a guy got it, they threw him out in the street. They didn't want it in the house. And they went around and picked up these sick people. And they preached the gospel.